And it's not if trials come. You know, the Bible, you know, Jesus said, he said, in this world you'll have trouble, tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. You know, he's telling us it's going to get bad at times. You know, times you're going to go through, you're going to be persecuted. You know, you're going to be, a lot of different things are going to happen. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome. And see, when he went, a lot of sermons are just preached on Jesus on the cross when he said it's finished. But there's a lot more in it is finished than just minding your salvation. And thank God for it. Once I started realizing that salvation was the, I found a scripture in the Bible where it says that people talk about the cross and all that, and that's great. Jesus ain't on the cross. He's a king of kings. He's Lord of lords, you know. But that there's a scripture in the Bible that says, leaving the elementary doctrines of the cross and go on into perfection. So once we get born again, that's not the end of it. We're to go on into perfection, you know. And what I've learned over my life, you know, of serving the Lord and trying to apply the Bible to my life, you know, one thing, what I've learned is that trials, when they do come, they do. And they come often to me. I don't know about you. Don't want to know. I got enough to deal with. But when they do come, and they will come, they're absolutely, whether they're from the enemy or whether they're from on our own making or whether they're from somebody. I'm in a trial now over other people because of other people in my life somewhat. But it don't matter about how the trial comes. What the key to the Christian life is, I've learned over the years by seeking the Lord, fasting, praying, different things, reading the Bible and reading, you know, and studying the Bible, that trials is a chisel in the hand of God. God spoke to my heart one time, because I was in a lot of trials, you know, and all of that, and it seemed like if I could just come out of these trials, I could serve the Lord. I'd want to go to church. I would want to pray. If you ever felt that way, or am I the only one on the planet? You know, and I had that feeling, you know, if I could just didn't have these trials, I could serve Jesus. If I didn't, you know, and Satan's a liar. He's a master at giving thoughts like those. Those come from dark side. He was trying to get me convinced that the only way I could have a good life in Jesus, you know, and enjoy life was if I didn't have any trials. And at that moment in time, God was telling me that adversity is a chisel that I've got. I've got the chisel. And I use adversity when you yield the right way, when you yield to me, when you don't yield to the trial, when you stay in faith and you believe for good to come out of that trial, that I'll bring good out of that trial. I'll chisel things off of you. I'm going to give you scripture, not about a chisel, but the Lord gave me that. That's the way he needed to talk to me then. So for me to understand, you know, that this is not the way it's going to always be. You're going to have trials, but I'm going to build you stronger. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to settle you in the Word and settle you in my power and settle you in my anointing and my grace that you are able to bear the cross. See, the Bible says for us to take up the cross and follow him. Now, we don't need to look at that in a negative sense. You know, nobody wants to look to the cross, you know, in that manner. Well, that means a lot of different things, Mac. That means, you know, I got to yield to the Lord. I've got to forgive people. I've got to love my enemies. You know, I had somebody back. I got to tell you this first. You know, trials. If you look at trials the wrong way, if you focus on the trial, it'll defeat you. It'll take you down in your marriage, lost relationships. Whatever the case may be, victory is determined by how we yield to God in whatever bad thing comes to our house. And victory is on the other side of my choice. You know, I can choose to forget, not forgive, and I can live in anger and bitterness. That's the result of my choice. No matter what. Guy told me the other day, I said, oh, yes, somebody hooked me with $18,000 in my family. Let's talk about trial. Their windshield wiper blade broke. Come on, sweetheart. You know, it's not wiping like it used to, squeaking, and you ain't got $3 to get a windshield wiper blade. Wait till you get up to the $16,000 trial. And I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to go kill them because it affected me and my family, everything. When we enter into a trial, it affects everybody around us most of the time, you know. And God's anointed us as leaders. If you're born again, you're to be a leader of faith, a leader of courage in the Lord, in your family, as a mother to your kids. They need to see you strong in the Lord. They need to see you focused on the Lord and not the troubles and the trials. But anyways, everything's going good at Travis's house. This just happened to him this week, here last week or so. Everything's going good at his house. All his bills is paid. He gets to game and lay around. He ain't having to go to work. You know, he gets to sleep till dinner. Probably later than that if the kids didn't wake him up. You know, I mean, he's living in fantasy. You know, and then all of a sudden, something about this tall, and its name is Aiden, he's learned how to flush the commode. So he goes in there, and he puts a pen in the commode. Before that, he puts some toy. Travis got a picture of it today when we finally got his drain unstopped. After we almost dug the whole septic tank up and done cut everything out from under his house. And we thought it was the fill lines, and I'd done made plans to go get the backhoe going and go dig up creation around there. How many knows a three-foot tall kid can bring you a big trial? Thank God everything was going good. Beth was happy. Everybody was happy. And then all of a sudden water backs up through the whole house. You can't take a shower. Can't wash the dishes. This trial hit them all of a sudden. And they wasn't a lick of evil in it. That little kid was just as innocent. He's watched everybody flush. And so I guess he's Johnny, he's going to go experiencing flushing toilets. I'm not in his mind, don't want to be. I'm more mature than that. But anyways, here it goes. And then Travis, have you ever had a trial hit you and it just seems like the last thing you want to do is go and face that trial? It's the last thing you want. I mean, you know, you just feel like you don't have the energy to go and face that trial. I've been there once. It might be a toilet, but it don't matter. And so I'm like, well, I got to give him a little time. Maybe he'll get out there and do it. Days go by. He just can't seem to muster the strength, Johnny. He's not really lazy. I mean, he's got a tractor, you know, and I'm waiting for something to move out there so I can run out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting on somebody else. I'm thinking, if he's waiting on Daddy to go dig it up, I'm not going to dig it up. But if he gets out there, I'll see him and I'll run out there, you know. Well, that's what happened. He got busy, and I went and helped him solve his problem. That's the way we do one another, right? As long as we're trying, we'll help each other. Life, happy life. I want my sweetheart happy. She told me today, she said, I gained so and so many pounds. We're standing there hugging a little bit. She's trying to reach around me. I said, it's more to hold on to, baby. We're getting warm in the living room. Hey, baby. We're still in love at 36 years, man, you know. Hallelujah. Because you know what? I could have said something that would have created a bad trial in my house. I love every inch of you, baby. Use some wisdom, guys. We're smarter than that. And so anyhow, Travis out there, and he's telling me, he says, and you know, sewer's a mess. Sewer's a mess, Max. So Travis, he's kind of germophobic. And so when I get down there, he's cut a trench all the way around the septic tank. I mean, he's dug up the whole septic tank, Johnny, to make a drain where when he cuts his mess, it's going to drain. He's not going to be in a mud hole or something. I don't know what he's. So when I get there, he's looking at it. And I'm thinking, what happened? What's going on, man? I mean, he's studying it. But he sees what the problem is. But it's nasty down there. I mean, those some trials are not clean. They can get nasty. They can really get nasty. But you know what, Sandy? In just a little while, we had the whole mess cleaned up. But you know what? I took that trial and I thought it's a septic tank. How bad can it be? You know? So I had to go motivate him to get out there and fix it. And then he looks at it, better leave it uncovered a few days, and I'm thinking he's ready to go game. He ain't covered the pipe back up. I'm thinking he's ready to go back in the house or something, you know. Because he's got a tractor here. It ain't like he's going to have to use a shovel. Got my tractor with the front end loader back. I mean, how hard is that going to be? Rake the dirt back over it. And I'm thinking, well, I could give him a little wisdom, you know. There's no need in leaving it uncovered to see if it's going to leak for a couple of days. We just fixed it. I mean, am I thinking crazy or what? Now every time I pull in, I'm going to be reminded of that trial. So why not cover it up and get rid of that devil? Praise God. You know, but listen, everything can be going really good, you know, and then all of a sudden, bam, something hits. But how many knows God wasn't caught off guard with it? God did not say, oh my God, Johnny, I didn't see that coming, buddy, or I'd have told you. No, God's up. I mean, he's strong. He's mighty in battle. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. I mean, he's always there on the, you know, on the scene when we let him be. But see, God is not a dictator. God has to have our heart. Come on in, Lord. I cast this over on you, Lord. I let you deal with these issues, God. He's got to have that from us, that continual giving things to the Lord, yielding the right way. You know, I mean, there was somebody that on this planet before I got saved that truly I really would have killed. You know, had I been given just a little more time. And all these years have went by, and I worked the forgiveness. How many knows that the Bible says forgive so your heavenly Father can forgive you? How many knows that's a choice, that's not a feeling? That's a choice. You know, we choose to forgive people that's done us wrong. We choose to forgive the ones now, you know, that are doing wrong. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What's going on right now is not going to dictate my future. Your future. My church's future. My business's future. It's not dictated me for 27 years, the world and its system. And it changes from one season to another. I'm talking about it can be doing good and then all of a sudden bad. And it'll keep you in a roller coaster and it'll keep you in fear. How many knows the Bible says fear is a spirit? You know, the only way you can get in fear, just say this, your house payment's due and you ain't got the money. The only way you can get in fear that you're going to lose your house is imagine not paying it. And imagine what's going to happen. That's meditated worry. Yields to fear. See, if you believe that God's going to take care of your house, then you cast that over on him. You don't meditate on the results of if it don't get paid. You can't do that and stay in faith. You can't stay in faith looking in the natural at what this our country could go into. Our country could go into socialism and blah, 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 and all kinds of garbage. And if some people say, well, it won't never happen, read your Bible. It is in your Bible. It talks about a one world government. Now, I'm not saying God ain't told me that now. I don't know. I've done my part. We voted. We've done our part, right? We sowed our seeds in righteousness, right? And we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap God's protection, God's provision, God's blessing. The blessing, I'm going to get richer in 2021. Well, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. You should have been coming to church all these years, and you would have done been out of that. You should have got in that Bible and found out what God was saying about your finances, what God says about your business, what God says. Find out what God says. Well, everybody, I mean, Bluntsville's broke. Bluntsville ain't kept me broke. I'm telling you, I'm bringing revenue into Bluntsville. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. Blessed. I ain't never put my trust in the government since I learned what the Bible says. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Hallelujah. And praise God, I've worked on it for 20-something years, and I ain't changing now. God's word ain't changed. Now, I fight to the end. I believe in fighting to the very end, bless God, in what I believe in. I believe in God's word. I believe in victory. I believe that for it to happen in my life, I've got to yield to God because I need God's anointing. I need God's power working in every situation in my life. But that's up to me. Well, we're just waiting on God. No, you ain't waiting on God. See, I mean, some of you shocked that I would even say that. We're not waiting on God. He done worked 6 days and went down there and sat down and said it's finished and rested. He ain't got one gray hair. If you had there. And you know what? He says there remains a rest for the people of God in Hebrews. He says those that have quit worrying, cease from their own work, quit trying to take care of themselves, rely has entered into that rest. Well, I'm going to make them pay. How many knows the Bible says vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. Nowhere in the Bible where it says for me and you to take vengeance on our enemies. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that I had a right to stay mad at that person because you hooked me for $18,000. See, God was taking me down the path, like our president says, this path of freedom and truth is less traveled. Anything worth fighting for is going to take work. If you want your freedom in Jesus that's already been paid for, then you got to do your part. If I want the blessing of the Lord and makes me rich, then I've got to do my part. What does that mean, brothers? God, that means I'll know the truth, the Bible, and the truth will set me free, the Bible says. Set me free from the bondages of darkness. Set me free from the bondages of my own flesh. It'll cause me to realize my flesh is holding me back. My choices are holding me back. And I've got to let God get involved so that my choices line up with God's will in everything that I do. Then God's anointing is on everything that I do. I'm anointed. You're anointed. And I ain't even perfect. I'm about a quarter way, Robert. I'm about a quarter way into perfection. But you know what? I believe 2021 is going to be the year to those that'll seek the Lord. To those that'll get off of this stuff now. Let's move past where we are right now. We fought the good fight, but we did our part, and God will do his. Amen? Ain't no need me worrying about it, losing sleep. They had all the debating on there today about this stupid impeachment. Stupid. Stupid. Just because they don't want somebody that is for us in there again. And done it in a few hours, unprecedented. They ain't done nothing. I went over there and I thought, glory to God. Turned it on me some preaching, covered my head up, got me an out where I'd be fresh when I got here and shut all that garbage off. Garbage. It worked. I'm good. I ain't depressed. I'm ready to get fired up. I'm ready to go into 2021 whipping that devil just like I've been whipping him ever since I got born again. I'm going to whip him this year. My battle is not flesh and blood. My battle is principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I already read the book where Jesus said, I stripped all of them of all power and made a show of them openly. Triumph them over them. And then he says, I give you power over all the power of the devil. Nothing by any means can harm you. Well, I just believe that, bless God. Hallelujah. Well, go on all of these years. I forgive a lot of people back yonder in my past. And I forgive a lot of people, you know, after I got saved, too. I've had to do it. It's never ending. But once you get the victory, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier. I mean, it's so easy now. I'm like, it's unreal, God. And he said, I know. I'm amazing. He's amazing. He does an amazing work in the hearts of men, in ours, in yours. And he's done a great work in us. Well, you just don't know the trouble. I'm trying to tell you what to do to get out of it. How many knows the Bible says forgive so your heavenly Father can forgive you? See, you got to forgive. Well, I mean, I don't do all that much wrong. Yeah, but you're doing something wrong. That little bit, kind of like they said, we don't have enough evidence to prove nothing. A little's enough. Right? If I want God to cleanse me and the blood to flow in my life, then I've got to be in a state of forgiveness. Forgiving all the time. Forgiving people. Forgiving. Forgiving these crazy dumb drivers. These bicycle riders, not you. He just got a bicycle. I'm not talking about you. You're a new one. I mean, they'll just drive out in front of you. I'm like, come on, dude. You ain't got no blinkers. If that was me, I'd get pulled over the first thing. No blinkers, no lights. You know, just pull out in front of me like you own the whole road. We pay taxes here, dude. You're supposed to wait till everybody's gone and then pull out. Well, you got to forgive those people, right? You got to say, Lord, give them wisdom, because if I wasn't saved, I'd go ahead and send him on to you if he's saved. Bend his bicycle up a little. See, I got to stay away from that. I'm telling you how that flesh, it does it. Well, went on, you know, my worst enemy on the planet ever. My worst enemy on the planet. I was given an opportunity presented to me to pray for him. Somebody that I would have killed back yonder in a heartbeat. And you know what? It took me a whole day to quit worshiping God after that. I mean, I'm in the truck and I'm like, God, you are so awesome. To you have honestly brought me to the point that I didn't realize that I was that strong in you, in forgiveness. That I was really able to mean from my heart what come out of my mouth towards somebody that I wanted dead on this planet, God. And God, if you can do that, you can take me on into perfection, God. God, you can take me on in to this glory that's going to be revealed in the saints before you come and get us. See, I was rejoicing over the victory. See, it's good to get victories because you can rejoice, man, I'm telling you. I know that might seem little to you, but that ate me for years. That ate me for years. That kept me in a prison for years and years and years. It tried to follow me into my Christianity and into ministry. Look where I'm at today. I'm all over the world. Yet I don't brag and toot my horn. I don't even know what I'm doing other than I'm praying. God says start internet. And I said, no, people's leaving their husbands and wives over that internet. They're getting on them chat lines and meeting them in Tennessee. And I wasn't going to get no internet. I thought, especially put it in the church. Come on, somebody. I was thinking, I was thinking, they'll set up there on the internet. Y'all better not ever do that. Ever do that. Don't ever play when you're in ministry here. Just don't do it. It's not time to be on the internet. They ain't doing it. Surely y'all ain't, but don't tell them. Just repent and don't ever do it again. Because there's an anointing we're going to have in this church. And it's because our focus and worship and all is towards Him and giving Him that attention and all that. Where was I at? Y'all got me off on something. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, no matter what the devil tells you that you can't forgive and you just can't forget, you know, you tell him that Jesus forgave and Jesus forgot what he did for you, what you had did to him while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. So you know what? 2021 is going to hold trials for you. It's going to hold hardship. There's going to be people enter into our lives that are not very favorable. You know, we're set out and anointed to bring down the kingdom of darkness, to push back darkness. You know, there was a prophecy at this church one time while I was in Mexico helping build a church, and he said that we're gatekeepers. He said he saw it. God carried him into a vision or spoke to him or something and said that he saw this church. He said it opened gates for people. He said we're gatekeepers for people into the kingdom, you know. Kind of like somebody told me the other day, these unruly people coming to church disrupting the services. And I'm thinking, I'm 17 and a half years past that. Richard, he raised his hand. Don't do it again. No. No, but what he was talking about is folk that ain't saved. Folk that ain't been saved. Their kids ain't been churched. So they're climbing the pews and running and all that stuff, you know, and it's more trouble to them. They just rather not have them. So I told somebody the other day, I said, what are we supposed to do, man? Is the church just supposed to be, are we just supposed to go after the 99? It's not what Jesus said. I said, are we such babies in the church that we can't bring messed up people in? I said, ain't that what Jesus went to do? Ain't that what Jesus did? He said, I didn't come to save the righteous. I come for those that are not right. But I understand the issues and the troubles and the trials. We get excited about growing and all of that. And then we start growing and then it gets uncomfortable. If we're not careful, you know, we'll lose our zeal by looking at that trial. But we got to give people time to get in there and get their hearts and spend time with the Lord themselves. Read the Bible, you know, get in here and see how we conduct ourselves and see how we conduct our kids. And they will fall in line by our example. And not look at them ugly because they're back there talking, you know. I mean, now if it's somebody that's been in the Lord 50 years, they back there, I've done it. I've stopped the service and said, you, come sit over here. You think I won't separate you if you're, 50 years old in the Lord and you've been going to church and you're going to sit there and disrupt the service? That's not what I'm talking about. Now, I'll separate you. I've done it. I said, you get up and you come over here. I separated this family. Y'all get over here. Let's go. And then I went right on preaching. But if we don't have forgiving hearts, when we find out, somebody called me today and they said, oh, well, he could use some work and blah, blah, blah. He's got a felony. And then he stopped, just got silent. I said, what's that? What'd you stop for? Because the dude's got a felony, had a felony. That don't bother me. I'd have had a bunch of them if I'd have got caught. I just didn't get caught. I'd have a bunch of felonies. People make mistakes, right? You know, I went down a road, just didn't get... My brother, every Saturday, he's going to jail. My younger brother, thank God he's preaching today. I mean, every weekend he's going to jail. He called, I can't think of that probation officer, Danny Hicks, was it? Back under, I don't know if he's still around or not. Is he still around? He is? He knows! Ha ha! It's over for you too, baby. You went through that trial and got the victory, and here you are on victory lane. That's another one. He's on victory lane. Well, you know, I mean, He told me, I said, look, man, I said, can't you just stay away from the cops or something, man? I said, I have the same beer and pot and all that you do. I said, I don't know how in the world, man, you go to jail every weekend. I said, stay off of the back roads. I said, they done up on us on the back roads. Stay on the main road. Stop going on the back roads because you're trying to stay away from them. They done figured us out. They called that the Weston 500 through there. They really did. Bunch of us, man. And so, anyways, I told him he's going down one day, and then I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see Daddy. I said, where's he at? Danny Hicks. I said, oh, you know him that well now. Calling him Daddy. Having to go and see him every month. Then every 2 weeks, he got in so much trouble, he's having to see his daddy every other week. Calling him his daddy. He said, I feel like in my daddy, I have to see him more than I see my own daddy. Well, thank God today he's pastoring. He's preaching today. God had a plan for him. See, it don't make no difference where you've been. I thought to myself, I thought he will never be out from under the law. He'll never. He can't seem to help himself. And he's still a little mischief today, but he's a lot better. But you know what, praise God? Listen, you've got to let the trials that come into your life and the past hurts and pains that people have caused you and things have caused you and lay it down on the altar and give it to God and let God turn you free and set you free from the bondages of that sin. It's sin to have unforgiveness. The Bible says whatever's not did in faith is sin. You can't do that in faith, hold a grudge. In faith that God's okay with it, can't do it. And then in the past, you know, in the future, just like they stole the guitars. Man, we come out smelling like a rose, homie. It wasn't because we're so special. It's because we will see the enemy for who he is, through who he used. And then we will take the scripture that says that the Satan, when we catch him stealing, has to pay us seven times. We do that way. We do our battle that way. That's giving things to God. That's letting God work all things together for the good. And then we get a $3,000 check and new instruments. Pretty good deal, wasn't it? I told Satan, man, won't you come steal that other bass? I told him, won't you do it, man? Do something else. We need new speakers. Christian wants to upgrade the whole system. Bless God, just try to steal it, Satan, if you can. But I've got my angels now. They're stopping them. God told me, he said, God, people got that low that they'd steal from the church. I said, I just didn't think about it when I was lost. I said, if I'd thought twice, man, church don't buy cheap stuff. So if I'd have wanted good stuff, I'd have found me some churches to go break into. I'd have had me some real good speakers. He said, wow, I never thought about it that way. I said, that's a good thing to us. If they want to come get our stuff, we carry good stuff. Ovation, Court, Peavy, you know. We have Travis, he wants our computer. He will never get it by your own. It's a gaming computer. That baby's loaded. We can do a lot of stuff with that computer. Hallelujah. I mean, we're ready to go live whenever God wants to. We got it. We can do it. We can go. We done got a YouTube account. You didn't know it. We've been on YouTube already. Jackie Minor, tell her go pull herself up. I let her teach Sunday school. We put her on YouTube. My brother come in here and I tell him, I said, man, why don't you come to church? I ain't no pew warmer. I got a message for the world. I said, really? I said, you ain't no pew warmer. No, I got a message for the world. God ain't called me to come sit on a pew in the church. And I said, hey, you know what? I said, you're looking at the one that can put you all the way around the world in 3 minutes. And you don't even have to leave my church. I said, you don't have to be a bench warmer, but get busy with God's kingdom. You know, go to church. Find you a church somewhere. I don't need you to come to mine. You can't submit to your brother. You got a problem. Go find you a church When you get to where you can submit, come on, serve God with us. See, it ain't about who's supposed to be in charge. It's about who God puts over us. If he wants to put you over this church, I done dealt right there so many years ago, and when I felt like God was going to bring somebody to pastor this church, I come down here by myself. I had that feeling, not a spoken word from the Lord, and I knelt down right there on, maybe not that pew, it was up here. Tracy moves them up. But anyhow, I knelt down, and I got down with God. And I said, God, I felt like this is my ministry, Lord. You know, that I've labored and all that. I went through it with God. I said, but God, I have nothing without you. I said, in this ministry, I realize, Lord, that I've got to come to the place in my heart, Lord, where I'm willing to give your ministry back to you. I'm willing to put and sit down. If you want to send somebody to pastor, I will sit down and I'll submit, and I don't have to be in charge. Now, I did that. That's something that was where God was asking me for my heart. You know, just like he'll ask you for your heart. Go. Get plugged in. Work in the ministry. Work in the clothes. Work in the food. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. Whether it's pulpit or a can of green beans back there, there's no difference in obedience to the Lord. Whether it's pastoring or giving out food. Well, it's my only day off. Well, you've got a problem. Did you think God didn't know that's your only day off when he asked you to do it? Maybe he's going to give you the business one day. And then you can take every day off. The Bible says, be faithful in the small things, and he'll make you rulers over much. See, I don't know why I'm down that line, but it don't make no difference. Somebody come to me and they said, well, you know, y'all pay me pretty good now. Y'all been thinking about me somewhat. I will get another raise, but I don't have to ask you, the Lord, to do it. You might use Sandy. I don't know. He does it every night. Hang around, Sandy. You're doing good. Don't leave. But you know what? I mean, you know, I was willing to go. I come to this church for years with nothing. No pay. I wasn't doing it for the money. Still ain't doing it for the money. I was doing it because God told me to do it. You know, but you know what? I also know that whatever God tells me to do, he'll reward me some way. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom in your home. You know, seek the kingdom, you know, in where you work. You know, go to work and say, God, I'm working for you, Lord. I'm here to serve you. I'm not working for men. I'm working for you. And I'm going to be the best employee that this place ever has, God, because I want to be a living example of being a Christian. Don't do it for the money. Don't do it for recognition. Do it for Jesus. Do it for the Lord. And you know, the Bible says whatever we do in secret, he'll reward us openly. You see, life only gets better in the Lord, even though the world gets darker. The Bible says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness will cover the people. We can see that to a major extent now. He said, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen on you. See, nowhere in the Bible have they been outnumbered, you know, and lost because they were outnumbered that were with God. Actually, Gideon, he thought he needed more than 300. God whittled him down to 300. This dude was outnumbered big time. Big time. I mean, it looked in the natural to him, I'm sure, Johnny, that I hope God's right. But he did it anyways. And you know what? God had Gideon. He go down. He said, go down. He said, and watch those when they're drinking. They're watching. They're watching. They're not taking their eyes. Same with us. We don't care what's going on. We're looking unto Jesus. Those are the ones that are the frontline runners. Not just when you're in church. See, God's got some that's running the front lines. You know, and I want to be one in my home. And I believe I have. I believe I could have did better as a parent, you know. But I stayed before the Lord. Lord, help me be the father that you want me to be, God. God, I really want to be an example to my son, Lord, that when he gets to be a man, you know, that he'll have that remembrance. Dad sought the Lord. Dad trusted the Lord. Dad trusted the Lord. Dad fasted. Dad prayed. Dad was relentless on doing the ministry. Dad was, you know, and when he faces his stuff later on, he'll say, I know how Dad did it. Dad did it because he really trusted the Lord. Dad give to the Lord, and I seen him prosper. He tithed, and you know, and he gave this away and that away, and that's your life. And we leave that, and God anoints us. God anoints us, and he causes us to be the example before the ones that are watching us. You know, because it's not just about me and my house, although I guard it pretty good. My neighbor now, he's like Matt Dillon, man. He's got big pistols and stuff. We're sitting there, and me and Travis, and I seen this dude walking down the road, you know. Well, my neighbor, he called me. Hey, somebody walking down the road. And I told Travis, I said, didn't he just go that way? I said, how does he know somebody's walking down the road down here? He can't even see down here. Travis, he said, oh, thank you, Dad. He might have went that way. I said, well, I didn't see it. But he calls me. He does that. Hey, you know who's walking down the road? I'm like, who do you think I am, man? He called Travis one night. Somebody walking down the road, Travis. I didn't know it till you called me. I don't know who it is, man. But you know what, praise God? We sat there. I mean, they walk down the road. I don't care. I got angels. They can think about coming. Oh, something about that. That just feels fishy. Something feels fishy. Better not go in there. There might be an undercover cop sitting around. They feel something. How many knows the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that reverence God? And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That if the bank says you can't have it and God has already said you can have it, that's a sure sign that a miracle is headed your way. I remember one time Teresa wanted a blazer. And we drove that thing for years. Never did put not one set of tires on it. She used the scriptures out of over there where their shoes didn't wear out in the wilderness. Told her one time, I said, I think them tires are wearing. Before I could get it out of my mouth, she told me, she said, you keep your tongue off of my tires. She said, my tires won't wear out. She said, the shoes didn't wear out in the wilderness. And if God can keep shoes from wearing out, see, that's somebody that's done took that Bible to heart. I'm not saying that because it's Teresa. I don't care who you are. You know, done took that thing to heart that her God is a big God. Her God is able to keep her tires from wearing out. And I'm going to tell you something. We drove that thing for I don't know how many years to church, and those tires still looked nearly new whenever I sold that blazer. But you know what? That's it. That's my blazer. That's it. It's in the Chevrolet place. I ain't got a lick of credit to save nobody's neck. She said, go get it. Go get it. I'm going to go get it. Got no credit. I said, okay. Lord says we can have it. Well, by God, I'll get it. I go down there, walk in, tell them what I want. They look at me we can't do it, Mr. Weston. Your credit score's blah, blah, blah. And I said, I already know that, man. I mean, I know I got bad credit. I know it. They don't care if you know it. They knew you know it before they got there, before you got in there in their presence, right? They knew you know it when you came. And so I went back and I told Teresa. I said, well, they turned me down. They turned me, you get down there and get that. But God said I can have that blazer. And I started to tell her, you go. I done went down there and told them now. And so you know what? I walked out, you know, and I thought, well, bless God. If God says we have it, I don't care what people says. You know, bless God, all you need is the anointing on you. That's all you need. So I went to the same place a day or three later. Don't know how long it was, 2-3 days. I thought, that's ours. And I pulled in. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for victory right now. I'll drive that blazer home in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. I walked back in there, same place, same guy. I said, I'm here to get my blazer. He looked at me like I was stupid. I said, I need that blazer, man. I need it. I'm going to go somewhere else. I can't remember y'all what I said. And then in a few seconds, he said, well, I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I thought, I know why you're going to do it. Because I wouldn't take no for an answer. But God said, she said, God said, and I believe she hears God. I believe she hears God. Because, I mean, she's all the time telling me, you ain't heard from God on that. I mean, she is real good at that. I come home, have you asked the Lord? I'm like, God, we got to ask him everything. I'm a baby Christian, Mac. I didn't know you had to ask him everything. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, good God, man. Do you ask him about everything? I told her. She said, yes. I'm like, well, I didn't know it. That's God. I guess I got to start asking about stuff. Well, I went and get this truck one time. I wanted it. Oh, I told him, now at this time, I can get what I want. I'm done at the point, you know. I don't know how to go to the bank, man. I don't even have to go to the bank. I'll drive a truck home, and they'll come to me and let me sign them. You know? So I wanted it. I went in there, four-wheel drive. It was an old school kind of light. I just wanted it. I didn't need it. I just wanted it. So I go in there, and I said, yeah, Gary, I said, I want that truck. How much you want for that truck out there? Which one? I said, that one sitting out there, that GMC, that full drive. And he said, you don't want that. I said, yes, I do. I said, how much you want for that? He told me. I said, yes, I do. He said, I'm telling you, you don't want that. Well, he done checked it out. He knows me. It's a car lot. And he likes me. He sells me good stuff. I think, now he's trying to tell me I don't want it. I said, I want it. I'll take it. Get off down yonder, start to Birmingham down there, and it breaks down. I called Teresa. Called her. Now I'm in a trial, Jenny. My new truck. Call her up. Hey, need you to come.
I'm not a wrecker. I told you.
I'm thinking, dear Jesus. She knows I didn't hear from Jesus. She knows I didn't want it, and she ain't going to be responsible. She still tells me that today. I don't think she come after me. I can't remember back. But you know what I done? I said, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord. I should have listened to him, and I should have asked you, Lord. And, man, I done messed up, Lord, and I've got this junk now, Lord. Lord, I just give this to you right now. I roll the care of this over on you, Lord. And all of a sudden, God said, take it back. And I thought, they don't take them back. He said, take it back. I thought, no, man, they don't take it back. It's been a week or two or whatever long it was. So I went back. Anyhow, I got it back going. I took it down there, and I walked in, and I said, you were right. I don't want it. He said, well, I don't want it either. He said, I'd let you have it because I wanted you to learn. I've done Travis like that on account of him. He said, I wanted you to learn. I said, well, I got a good lesson, man. You going to take that truck back? Yeah, go pick you out what you want. He took the truck back. Give my money back on that truck. Now I want to ask the Lord, Lord, is this an it? If it ain't, I don't want it. I mean, that'll learn you a lesson, man. I mean, you know, God worked it out, you know, praise God. But don't just bypass the lessons and say, well, I think it's the Lord, I'm going to believe. No, don't do that stuff. Make sure it's God. God told me one time, I'm going to quit my job, a bunch of heathens down there. I said, did Jesus tell you to quit? He said, well, Jesus don't want me in all that junk. I said, really? I said, he sent Jesus in the middle of this ungodly world. I said, look, man, I said, if God's got you, you better ask the Lord about that. I said, it can get worse. I said, but you know what? I said, what you got to do is you ask the Lord. And if the Lord ain't saying nothing, then your circumstances don't dictate whether you quit a job or not. You better be led by the Spirit of God. I said, because God needs a Christian in the middle of that devil's den. These folk need to see Jesus. These folk need to see somebody praising the Lord with their headphones. What you listening to, man? Is it, can you say Toby Mac? Toby Mac? Who's Toby Mac? I thought it was ZZ Top or Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Some of the young ones don't know all them.
you don't listen to stuff, listen to some good stuff. You know? Which I don't listen to it today. Lying lyrics. Bunch of lying junk. That secular music. Praise God, ain't got nothing for Scotty. Nothing. I don't give it the time of day in my beautiful ride. I mean, I get in there and it's 93.7, Jesus. Or they're in there, oh, yes, Heavenly Father, we pray for Susie this morning. And I get in there with them, yes, Heavenly Father, oh, we lift Susie up this morning, God. She's going through in her marriage over there. I'm not over there listening. There's a tear in my beer. I'm lonely for you, dear. You are on my messed up mind. Or I'm not going down through there, you know. I mean, I'm getting older. Teresa getting a little older, you know. Devil does to trick you about stuff. They're getting old. They don't care nothing about whatever the case might be. At least I'm not going down the road, you know. Oh, you make my speakers go boom, boom. You know, whatever that stuff. I ain't listened to it. I just know some of it Travis has listened to it, and I've heard it, you know. He tries to corrupt me with that stuff. But you know what I've noticed? He respects me. If he gets in my truck, if he does listen to the junk, he does turn it back on my station. Because Scotty chooses not to be filled with things. See, the Bible says those things that are born of the Spirit are of the Spirit. Those things that are born of flesh are of flesh. So spiritual songs has to be my music because I'm born of the Spirit now. I'm not that old man anymore, and I'm not yielding to that old man. That old man took me into bondage. That old man took me. Music helped me help create an image. I wanted to be like Garth Brooks. Travis just don't know it. Well, he does. But I had a Garth Brooks black hat, you know, and I played the guitar. I still play the guitar when I want to. And I had my black hat, and I'm singing Garth Brooks songs to Travis in Mama's belly because they told me Travis knew me. You know, when he come out, if I'd talk to him, sing to him, and all that, you know, he'd know Daddy. He'd be closer to Daddy. And so I'm singing Garth Brooks to Teresa's belly. I'm not singing the junk. I'm still singing. I wanted to be like Garth. But you know what Garth did? He rose and fell. Lost his family. The culture drawed him into it, whatever the case may be. You know, an idol I really looked up, but you know who I looked up to now, Mac? Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I look up to the Lord God Almighty because he showed me how to be a daddy. He showed me how to be a husband. I'm a good husband, whether she wants to give me all the credit. She gives me 75. She needs to 98 it. Got it, baby. I'm under the anointing. Get it. Write it down. Take notes. Put it on the refrigerator. I'm being funny. But you know what, praise God, you know, and now I'm a leader in the kingdom. I don't know a lot, but I know the Spirit of God. I don't know where all of us need, what we need individually in our life, but I know how to lead everybody to the one that does and how to pray and fast and seek the Lord and spend time with him and forgive and forget. You know, people says, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. You know what it called? I forgave people over the years, and I'm able to go fish with them and never think about it. That you can forget, too. God can help you even overcome all the way to the top. That's how come you can't oppress me. You can't get me in fear. So I want to encourage you. When trials come your way, yield God's way. Not what you think. Not what you think you deserve. Yield God's way. Well, they did this to yield God's way. Christian told me one time, he said, I can tell you right now, I'm going to sue them to no end. I said, well, what did Jesus say about that? Anybody know? He said, don't sue nobody. He said, if they come take your coat, give me a cloak also. Jesus said it. That's a hard one for the church, you know. But how many knows that God can make up for what has been took? Bless God, he took that $16,000 deal, $18,000 deal, and I made agreement, and I started paying that thing, and God caused favor from the door company and started selling me operators at their cost. Unheard of. Sending me, letting me have pallets at their cost, and it lasted way past me paying that $16,000 off. He said he come that we might have life and have it more abundant, to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing. I told that feller, I said, this trial here, I said, you may have a right in the natural. I said, you may have all the right. I said, but you got to check with your master. I said, I'm not telling you not to do it. I said, I just know what the scripture says. Now, I don't know the full meaning of what that scripture says, but it says don't sue nobody. It says if somebody takes your cloak, give them your coat also. If they smite you on the cheek, turn the other one. I said, I know that's a big dump truck there because you're trying to preserve yourself. You're trying to get paid back for the wrong done. I said, but the Bible says vengeance is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. I said, but I'm not telling you what to do, friend. I said, if you know Jesus like you say, get down and find out. Get down and find out the direction God's telling you. I said, because if God is telling you to forgive and let it go, I said, then God is able to bring an abundance because of your obedience to him. I said, but if you go on in that route and God is not saying it, then you're in the battle alone. Because God will not enter into your actions. Without him, he won't. I mean, we got to learn that. I mean, they acquired of the Lord. It's getting late. We got to quit. They acquired of the Lord in that Bible, bless God, and God said, don't go into battle. Didn't make no sense. Looked like he needed to take off and go get this job done. Psalmist David. God said, don't go. Later on, God told him, now go. He went and whipped them all. God told one, don't go, and they went, and they got tore up. They lost. They lost the battle. See, we got to engage in what God's saying. We got to engage, you know, and there's different levels. That's why this thing is so awesome, the kingdom of God. Because right now I'm on a certain level of growth. But if I press on in 2021, that level goes up. And then God opens up other things in the Bible, like the cows. I did not see the cows in Deuteronomy until I got that land and nearly got it fenced in. I'm just telling you the truth. I'd read Deuteronomy 28 a million times probably over my Christianity. I never seen noticed cows in that scripture. And here I am at a different place, a different level, a different place that God's brought me to, and then all of a sudden I thought I'm gonna read Deuteronomy 28 again. I could quote it to you, I can quote it. I thought I'm gonna read Deuteronomy 28 again. And I'm reading that. He said, and blessed will be the fruit of your cattle. And I seen cattle and I said, glory to God. There's my cows. I didn't realize my cows was in there. Well, I seen blessed going in, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed to be the fruit of your body, your health, and all that stuff, but, you know, and all of that. But I'd never seen cattle, and they popping babies. I ain't had them long, and I mean, I done popped 8 babies out. I go over there and look, God, man. I go over 2 or 3 days, look, whoa. Had my neighbor text me. I think I see a black calf out there. I'm thinking, really? Black? Ain't none of them got a black cow out there. I go over there, then a solid brown cow throw the black calf. Cute little rascal. I've almost got the full increase out of them 10 cows already. Give me just a few months and I'll get me some money if I want to. I can almost pay for the herd with the first offspring. And I didn't even have to do nothing. Take them over and watch them. Well, I did go get them. They finally got over that, I reckon. Hallelujah. But you know what? See, just like that, I could have given up on the cows and got frustrated with the trial, Johnny. Glad I did. Now I got them. They're all come, laid back, throwing me babies. You know, coming to me like I'm their daddy. I just pull up and they go, soof. I'm going to have to kick them out. Get back, move. Or I can get in the pasture, man. Done got, but you know, I'm building me walls. They ain't going to be able to get to me before long, boy. I'm walking in there and I'm going to be on dry ground. Them cows are going to be over at another place. You're separated. I'm over the other day and I'm trying to torch, and one of them there comes over there and I'm burning something and it goes, moo! And I'm like, ah! Are you serious? Well, it's seen me go in there, and that's where the feed's at, and I usually feed them from in there. So it slips up behind me. Whoa! I'm like, whoa, are you serious? You're crazy cow. Trying to work here. Praise God. You know, that's funny, but it happens. So I want to encourage you. You know, don't let the trials of what happened this last past year, you know, or the fears of what might not happen or what could happen. Don't let that get your eyes off of the Lord and the promises of God, because they are in him, yes and amen. And he is a God that don't change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Things may change. People may change. But the word and God don't change. And if we stay with him and stay faithful in there, I'm telling you, he'll do what he says he'll do in his word regardless. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.